I'm hoping that this morning I can set a tone for the year 1994. And so in the way of bringing a New Year's message, perhaps this will set the tone for 94. I trust it will do more than that. I trust it'll set a tone for our lives. Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you for giving us the Holy Scriptures, for causing them to be faithful and true, for giving us nothing in the book that could not be depended upon and relied upon for doctrine and for instruction. The Word that is forever and eternally settled in heaven. The Word that has been tried in the furnace of affliction 7 times 7. A Word that we know causes us always, when we read it, to bring us back to center. As we share today, our Father, we pray for the anointing of the teacher, the preacher, and the prophet to come forth. We ask that you'd speak to our hearts by the Holy Spirit, for if the Spirit does not make these words come alive to us, we will have just heard a message. And I pray that this will be more than that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This story from the Gospel of Luke concerning an event in the life of Jesus. Luke 14 and verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. In other words, he invited many guests. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all the things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray have thee me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. Check them out. And I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, and the halt and the blind. The servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture for a message on personal evangelism and personal witnessing, but that's not my message today. My message today concerns the error of the 3 men that were so abundantly blessed of God that they forgot where the blessings came from. One man had been so blessed that he had enough money to go out and buy a piece of land. And when it came time to attend the dinner that his master had made ready for him, he was too tied up with the taking care of his earthly blessings to sit down and have fellowship with his master at dinner. The second man was so blessed that he had been able to go out and buy 5 yoke of oxen. And when it came time to have fellowship over a dinner with his master, he didn't have time for that. He was busy testing out his 5 yoke of oxen and enjoying the blessings that came from the service of that master. I got to tell you, this touches my heart. And I hope it'll begin to touch yours. The third servant was so blessed with the granting of a wife, and he loved his wife so much that he had no time for the master that made it possible for him to have a good wife. When the master invited him to dinner and to fellowship over a dinner meal, the man said, "I can't come. I'm too busy looking after my wife." There is a danger, beloved, in the abundance of temporal blessings. The danger is that we get so wrapped up in the blessing that we forget the blesser. We get so tied up in the abundance that God has granted us that we forget who it was that granted it. We get so content in our good health, our prosperity, and the blessings of this life that we forget that it is only by the grace of God that we have not been consumed. For His compassions, Lamentation says, fail not. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. Jesus on another occasion was teaching, and the gospel writer Matthew records the teaching in the 7th verse. These words, beginning to read in the 19th. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I want to ask the question this morning, where's your treasure? On January the 2nd, 1994, where's your treasure? What is the most important treasure in your life? Is it your wife? Is it your husband? Is it your family, your children? Is it your home? Is it your land? Is it your 5 yoke of oxen? Is it your job? Is it your ministry? Is it your church? Is it your school? Is it your boat? Is it your horses? Is it your tractor? Is it your washing machine? Is it what you just got for Christmas? I'm sorry, I can't come to dinner because I'm busy working with my new fishing tackle. What a shame it is for God to bless a man with a boat so that he no longer has time on Sunday for church. What a terrible thing it is for God to bless a man with a new set of golf clubs so he no longer has time for the God who blessed him with them. What a great shame it is for God to bless a woman with a new baby so that now she has no time for the God that filled her womb with life. What a shame it is for a young person to be blessed of God with a special friend so that now he or she has no time for prayer because all our time is spent on the telephone and in interaction with that new special friend. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus was speaking on another occasion about the kingdom of God. The record is given in Matthew 13. If you have your Bible with you, please turn with me to the 44th verse of that chapter, Matthew 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, beloved, I'm here to tell you today that when you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and meet the Heavenly Father through faith in Christ, you have found the pearl of great price. And if necessary, it is worth selling all that you have in order to have that pearl for your own. I'm not sure that all Christians really understand the pearl that is ours, the precious field that is ours, when we meet our Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus Christ, everything else should pale. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the Lord's had me in this for 6 or 8 months, and I didn't know when we were to speak on it, but I perceive that today is at least a part of that. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Now, let me say before I read this that it is my conviction, because of the Scripture, that God delights in the prosperity of His servants, that it is the Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom to His children, that it is the will of God, as John expressed it in his third letter, that the people of God should be in health and prosper. I do not believe that God wants His people poor. The Scripture says clearly that Jesus became poor, that through His poverty that we might be made rich. And I don't believe that has to do only with spiritual riches. Let me tell you why I believe that. When Jesus sent Peter down to the lake to go fishing, and He said, Peter, the first fish you pull out, reach in his mouth, and what you find there, you go pay our taxes with it. He didn't find spiritual money. He found real money. I believe that the bag that Judas had, that he coveted — Judas was the treasurer, you know, of the evangelistic band of which Jesus was the head. Judas was the treasurer. That's what it means. He had the bag. He had the money bag. That on the night Jesus was betrayed, and He said to Judas, whatever you're going to do, go thou and do quickly. And all the disciples thought that He was going to go do some administration of the treasurer's responsibility. In that bag was real money. And a great many people want to take the references to money from the Bible and spiritualize them. But in that fish's mouth was a real coin. You know how I know it was a real coin? Because when He took it to the Jewish synagogue, the Jewish priests accepted the coin for payment of taxes, and Jewish people know about money. You're not going to take them some spiritual money and pay your synagogue taxes with them. Amen. So the Word of God says clearly that it is the delight of God for His people to prosper, but not to the point where we forget our first love. Deuteronomy 8, verse number 10, the caution of Moses as the children of Israel were about to possess the promised land. They were going to receive a land that was flowing with milk and honey, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees. They was just going to be dropped in their lap by the grace of God. And Moses gives them a warning in verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. But beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Watch this 12th verse. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. When you're in Egypt in the bondage, it is difficult to forget the Lord because you need him. You need him bad. But when we get delivered from the bondage of sin, when we receive the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, the satisfaction and the assurance that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we begin to participate in the temporal blessings of this life, which come from being a part of the family of God, it is very easy, if we're not careful, to forget from where those blessings came and have our hearts lifted up and begin to take these things for granted. Let me tell you, here today, gone tomorrow, personal testimony. One thing and one thing only does not change. God Almighty and His love for us. Houses are here today, gone tomorrow. Families are here today, gone tomorrow. Golf clubs are here today and gone tomorrow. Boats are here today and gone tomorrow. Horses are here today and in the ground tomorrow. But our God never changes. Jobs are here today. God deliver us and gone tomorrow. Amen. Verse 14, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and, how do you pronounce that word? Drought? Drought is it? Let's take a vote. Drought? Okay, how many for drought? One or two, okay. Did you notice, Jerry, that wisdom usually resides in a few? Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Verse 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. And thou... Let me pause right there just a moment and give a little reinforcement. Somebody's saying, but what about Job? Somebody's saying, you believe that God wants his people to prosper. How about Job? He lost everything he had. But read the whole book. I mean, read the whole thing. Don't read just the first two chapters of Job. Read the 42nd. Because God made Job's latter end greater than his first. And he gave Job twice as much as he ever lost. So that's about Job. Verse 17. And then thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Yes, you have a good job, but it is because of the power of God that you have that good job. Yes, you have money in the bank. Yes, you have your name on a house. Yes, you have your house paid for. Yes, you have a good wife. Yes, you have a good family. Yes, you've got all of these accoutrements that the world calls the good life. Yes, you've got them, but you didn't get them because you were so smart. You didn't get them because you worked so hard. All of those things become a part of what happens here, but it is the power of God that gives, the grace of God that gives you the power to gain wealth. And the warning today is beware lest that wealth, that prosperity, those blessings become more important in your life. I'm not talking just about the physical blessings. I'm talking about good things. It's a good thing to find a wise wife, the Bible says. But it is not a good thing to love your wife so much that you have no room for God. It is a wonderful thing. The Scripture says the children are the heritage of the Lord. It is a wonderful thing to have children and to have godly children. But let us not forget where those children came from. Children are the reward of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward, the Scripture says. Well, I'm so busy with my kids. Well, we have softball on Sunday morning. Can't get to church. God knows I'm busy with my kids, and it's a good thing for me to have time with my kids. But Sunday morning? Oh, I don't have time. Oh, I love God all right, but I just don't have time to worship Him. I worship Him on our route to the soccer field. But I don't have time to come to church and worship Him with the rest of you guys. There's something crooked about that thinking, beloved. There's something crooked about that. Of course our children are important to us. Did I stop preaching and go to meddling? Well, one Sunday a year I get to go fishing. One Sunday and 52 Saturdays. Well, the activity that I participate in, the only time they do it is on Sunday. Then don't participate in it. Are you saying, Pastor, that Sunday is the only day that you can really show your love for God? No, I'm not. But it is the day that the body of Christ has chosen for corporate worship, and it is not the best thing for you to be consistently missing from it. God, don't bless me so much that I forget where the blessings came from. Look at Proverbs with me in the 30th chapter. Some of you will remember this passage. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 7. See, this is a good time of year to preach a message like this. It's too cold to do anything else. Proverbs 30 and verse 7. Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. In other words, supply my needs, give me what I need, but don't make me poor or rich. Verse 9. Lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Meet my needs, but don't make me too poor or too rich. A couple of weeks ago, this image just came into my mind, and as I began to meditate on it, this message took form. And the image that I had, now you may find this strange, but this is the way it came to me, and this is the way the Lord ministered this truth to me, and then the Scriptures came following. In my mind's eye, I see a man in one of our far western states on a mountaintop. He lives all by himself, nobody else around. He's just away from civilization completely, and he lives in a cabin. And when he went there, the only thing he took were a few tools and a chicken, a hen. And as the hen grew to the fullness of its age, it began to lay eggs. This man loved eggs, and he loved them. He liked them soft-boiled, hard-boiled, scrambled, poached, fried. He liked them chopped up with a salad, the greens that he grew in his little garden. He loved eggs. he had such a love of eggs that he could not bear to consider life without eggs. As he cogitated on that, being out on the mountaintop there, he had very little else to think about, and so eggs being the love of his life, it took up a good bit of his time. And he thought, you know, if I couldn't have some eggs, I wouldn't want to live. These eggs are precious and valuable to me. And life without eggs is not life. One day a stranger came to his door. The stranger was one of these fellows of the baser sort. Low life, evil, wicked, from the heart out. And he said to this man, now I'm going to take something from you today, but I'm not going to take everything you have. You can give me either your chicken or your eggs. Which will it be? Well, this poor fellow had a terrible decision to make. He cared about his chicken, but he loved his eggs. His chicken was important to him, but he couldn't live without his eggs. Life revolved around his eggs. Life without eggs is not life at all. It is simply existence. And not being able to bear the thought of denying himself that which he loved most of all, he gave this evil man his chicken. The man left and he's very happy with his choice because he still has his eggs. And as he sat and looked at the bowl of eggs on the table, he was so gratified that he had made the right decision. But then he began to eat his eggs. It wasn't but a few days, and his eggs were gone. And he had neither chicken nor eggs. Now, beloved, I believe that's really the message that God wants me to get across to you today. Whatever's your eggs. When the choice comes, dump the eggs and hold the chicken. Why? Because the chicken is the source of the eggs. Eggs will come and go. Houses will come and go. Lambs will come and go. Oxen will come and go. Fields will come and go. But the God who is the source always the same. Don't you let go of your God in order to hold on to your eggs. I pray you'll never forget. Next time you look at a chicken, you'll remember this message. Ladies, when you go to the refrigerator to get some eggs out, that you'll remember. I believe God does that for us. You know, He creates these little images that cause these truths to be remembered. Of course, it's a silly story, but not one of you will ever forget that image. I'm concerned that a great many Christians have left the chicken to fend for themselves while they give the eggs all of their attention. Now see, eggs are good. Wives are good. Children are good. Recreation is good. Education is good. Job is good. All of those things are good. That's why we don't understand. Ministry's good. Do you realize how easy it would be for a minister to make his ministry so important in his life that he forget the God who gave it to him? You see how important, how easy it is for you to so love your family And it's not that we shouldn't love our family, but Jesus said, if any man will not hate mother or father, children, wife, and so on, he's not worthy and will not be my disciple. What did he mean by that? He didn't mean that we should actually hate our families, but we have to put them in second place. See, there can be nothing else in first place. Nothing else. I found that when I gave my heart to Jesus, he gave me more love, not less. And the closer we draw to him, the greater he increases our capacity in these areas. Mark chapter 12. Verse 28, one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there's none other but he, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw, he answered him discreetly. He said unto him, Listen, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God when you understand that man's chief aim is to love the Lord and to enjoy him forever. I don't think it's a coincidence that the first commandment of the ten that God gave to Moses was, Thou shalt have no other gods before thee. There's a story recorded in John's Gospel of Jesus coming to the house of Lazarus and his sisters for dinner. And Mary, the sister of Lazarus, took a jar of spikenard ointment, very expensive. And she broke open the jar and she used that ointment to anoint Jesus' feet. And then with her hair, she dried his feet after cleansing it with this very expensive ointment. And as the disciples were there and observed what was happening, Judas became indignant. He said, Why was this very precious ointment wasted on the feet of Jesus? Why wasn't it sold for 300 something or other and then that money given to the poor? I believe that the choice that is laid before us today and every day of our life is, are we going to be Mary or are we going to be Judas? Did Judas care about the poor? He cared zilch about the poor. It offended his sensibilities that someone would waste a very expensive ointment on the feet of the Son of God. I choose Mary in the story. I don't think there's anything too expensive for him. I don't think there's anything too precious to give to him. I don't think there is anything worth anything in this world that it is too good to give to the Lord. I don't ever want to be categorized with Judas. I don't think there's anything that we have that cannot be surrendered to him, and it would bring pleasure to him. Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. He said, I'm only with you for a short time. So what'll it be? Will it be chickens or will it be eggs? Mary and the chickens, right. I choose that chicken Mary rather than those eggs Judas. It's very subtle. This is a very subtle thing. And it happens very subtly in our lives. We say, oh, Lord, thank you for this wonderful blessing. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. I'm sure that man really loved his chicken when he saw the wonderful eggs that she produced every day, a new egg, every day. Faithful. He'd go to where she lay, and here was an egg every day. Until the eggs became more important than the chicken. Your wife can become more important than your God. Your kids can become more important than your God. Your job can become more important than your God. Your recreation can become more important than your God. The blessings of this life can become more important than your God. The size of your house, the furniture, whatever it is. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Jesus said the cares of this life, if we're not careful, will choke out the Word of God. And the life comes crashing down. Lord, deliver us from a mixed up perspective like that. Everybody stand, please. As you're standing, I want you to take a hymnal and turn in it to number 650.